We're doing Makos, we're up to Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Tosis Al Menas, going to the Gemara, go down about seven lines. Vam Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. We have a quote from the great Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. Rav Yehuda used to chazer his learning every 30 days. In the name of Shmuel, who was Rebbe's doctor, who was a great astronomer, who never got smicha, Shmuel Yarchino. So Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel. And we have a rule. Rav and Shmuel are the first generation of Amoraim. They were direct disciples of Rabbi Yehuda Anosi, Rebbe. Rav and Shmuel, the halacha is like Rav in Isurim, the halacha is like Shmuel in Mamonos, in monetary matters. Come, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. We have another quote of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel that's not far from the previous quote. Ha'omer l'chaveiro, if one says to his friend, I'll give you a loan al minat on the condition shelota shmiteni shvit, that shmitah shouldn't annul the loan. Shvit mishamato, shvit mishametet. So that's very nice. He takes the loan and shmitah annuls the loan. Your condition does not preclude the law of the Torah. Lema, do you want to say Kasavar Shmuel, that Shmuel is of the opinion Matnel Mashekatuv Batorahu, that such an instance would constitute one making a condition over what the Torah says V'chola Matnel Mashekatuv Batorah Tina'o Batel, and if you make a condition against something that the Torah says, so then your act happened, and your condition went to the wind. The condition is undone. Now that's an important point, because you might say, hey, I didn't give you no loan. The whole idea of giving you the loan was on condition that you won't have Shemitah undo it. So you want Shemitah to undo it? Fine, so then there's no loan. No, so we say, Tana'o batel v'maaseh kayam. The condition he stipulated is undone, it's invalid, but the action, the loan, well, that took effect. That's it. The loan is there. Is that really his opinion? V'ha itmar. But we have a halachic memra. Itmar is a halachic quote. Ha'omer l'chaviro al minat shein l'cha alayona'a. If someone makes a deal with his friend, he says, I'll sell you this bag of milk. Ordinarily, a bag of milk is 6 shekel. He says, I'll sell it to you for 25 shekel on condition you don't have a claim against me that I was unfair to you. We have a biblical prohibition that the Torah says, Ve'lo tonu ish et amito. Do not be unfair to one another. Do not do business unfairly with one another. So that is defined as follows. Under a sixth, if you want to make up to 1/6 above the market price, so that's okay. 1/6, we say, give it back. Above a sixth, we say the whole transaction is null and void. So there's a range, and Chazal kept that range at 1/6. You want to go above the market price, up to a sixth. So now a guy's going to say, I'll sell you this bag of milk for 30 shekel on the condition that you don't have a claim against me that I was unfair. So, Amarav, Rav Omer, Yesh lo alavona. Shmuel Amar, Ein lo alavona. Rav says he has a claim. You did unfair business, the transaction is null and void. Shmuel says he has no claim. So here it seems to say that he has no claim. That means that even though I made a condition against the words of the Torah, Shmuel seems to hold that my condition stands. So how come here Shmuel says, when you make a condition that Shemitah shouldn't nullify the loan, that doesn't work? How come when you want to cheat him, then your condition works? When you want to ensure that Shemitah doesn't take off the loan, it doesn't work. What's going on here? Ha'it marala. Wait, we have a quote about that. Amar Rav Anan, Ledidim ifar shelei minei de Shmuel. Rav Anan says, I heard it straight from Shmuel, that the Shmuel's logic is as follows. Al minat she'en lecha layona'a eno alavona'a. If he says, on the condition you won't come against me with a claim that I was unfair, so then he can't come with that claim. Al minat she'en bona'a, but if the condition is on condition that this deal doesn't have any claims of being unfair, so then, what do you mean it is unfair? So you could make a claim. So hachanami, you'll say the same thing over here. An menach lo tashmiteni bishviyit. If he says, on condition, you won't come with a claim to me on Shemitah, that the loan should be nullified and Shvit Meshamato. I told you you can't have that claim. You can't renege the loan on Shemitah. Al menach lo tashmiteni shivi'it. But if he says on condition that Shemitah doesn't act and nullify the loan, so then Shvit Meshamato, that doesn't work. Shvi'is does nullify the loan. Okay. Let's see Rashi. You see the Rashi? Our initial understanding is that Shmuel holds that if you make a condition on what it says in the Torah, your condition stands. If he says on condition that there is nothing unfair about this deal, so then he isn't saying, I want you to forgo what's unfair about the deal. Ela, but rather what he's saying is, he's saying the condition is, I'm not cheating you, but you are. So then that type of condition has no validity. When we analyze the deal, we see he cheated him. So here Shmuel admits that you have a claim, he cheated you. Hachanami. If he said to him, "Halveini al menat shelo tashmiteini," if he says, "Al ata bishviit," he says, "I'll give you a loan on the condition that you won't consider it undone by shmita." So now you say that's a good condition. Shmuel holds, even though he made a condition about something that the Torah says, his condition stands. But if he said to him, "Al menat shelo tashmiteini shivi'it," on condition that Shemitah shouldn't nullify the loan, Hashvita inam sura biyado latnot, he has no control over Shemitah. He can't make a condition whether Shemitah will act or not act. Shelo teya shvit meshamato lefichach in kantnai. That's why the condition doesn't work. Now this needs a little bit of work. I want to open the question and leave you to figure out the answer. What does it mean, tashmiteini? Tashmiteini means that Shemitah will nullify the loan. And to nullify the loan means I don't have to pay you. So what are you telling me? Yehuda comes and says, I'll give you the loan, but you don't what? What does it mean, shalot tashmiteini bishvit? What am I doing on Shemitah? I look at you and I say hi. How does this work? I mean, it says v'zeh dvar hashmitah, meaning the Torah insisted on the dibur, the way we talk. Don't go talking to the guy as though he owes you the money. The Torah says quite the contrary. If he comes and wants to pay you, you have a mitzvah to say no. The Mishnah says you could say no. No. You understand? No. Yeah, as you're saying no, you're signaling him, hey, my hand's out there, pay up. So the whole idea is dibur, but you have to say no. That's the mitzvah of Shemitah. So what does it mean, you won't? It's not the borrower who has to do the Shemitah. It's the lender that has to do the Shemitah. The lender has to say, no, you don't have to pay me. He's allowed to extend his hand as he says no. But he's the one who's doing the Shemitah here. And Chazal said the borrower should be a nice guy and insist and pay him back anyways.
Why is he allowed
to be? Vizeh Dvar. We're going to see at the end of Makos that Chazal darshan the word Dvar is Dibur.
She's asking him in his thought, the one who's lending is asking the one he's lending to in his thought to consider it as if Shemitah isn't going to nullify it. So,
that's like, a nice pshat. It doesn't seem to be what Rashi or the Gemara is saying. Rashi and the Gemara seem to say there's something personal about Shemitah, and that doesn't work. What does that mean? I'm the one that's annulling the loan. He tells him on the condition that you don't not pay me.
you don't have the machshava that the Shemitah is going to nullify. I mean,
how
I understand it's not
work?
Working in
I'm
the
saying,
Rashi.
So
but
the word tashmiteini needs work in the Gemara.
Right.
Yes.
What is the halachic? What is the halachic linear? If he just sticks out his hand, he doesn't say anything. What is the halachic ruling? He's signaling for the money back on Shemitah. He hasn't said anything.
So he didn't fulfill his mitzvah. His mitzvah is to say you don't have to pay.
Okay, so let's say he does say that, and he sticks out his hand. Is he a lot? Is he in any way have a right to that money?
I don't remember. I have to look it up.
So what difference does it make if he says that or not? That doesn't have to pay.
Okay, is it? I don't remember. Okay, so we have a question here. So when you're learning Bekiyus and you have a question, what do? So you open up the back of the Gemara for a second. Look in the back. Let's see. Where do we look? So the first and easiest place is to look in the Ran. Okay, we don't have any Ran in this, as far as I could see. I don't see the Ran here. Okay, so one day we'll have to figure this out. If we had time, we'd look at other Rishonim. But I don't see that we have time now. Yes?
You read a letter of the word, frequently it was printed here, the Rashi Amanat She'en Bo'ah, two lines down, She'eno on Hoga Mecha, you read?
Where are we?
Amanat She'en Bo'ah.
Yeah.
Down two lines, the other line, She'eno on Hoga Mecha, you read?
She'en. I don't see where you are now. I'm not sure in Bo Ona.
Down one, two lines.
Yeah, Sheno Onehu.
Onehu.
What did I say?
No, but mine is a men.
Oh, okay.
Yours is an Allah?
Yeah.
That's what I can figure out the word.
Okay. Okay. There's okay. There's what to discuss here. We don't have time. Onward. But for homework, if you have time, look at the top Tosfos, those of you who were here last time, Pika Damre, and look at the Rush on that, just to broaden your horizons a little bit. The Rush quotes from the Azarot, which was a song that they sang, and there was a discussion how you should read a part of that song. It was a song that summarized all of the 613 mitzvot.
You still say it?
Who says it?
In my community, we say on Shavuot.
Ah, I didn't know there was anyone who still said it.
It takes an ancient community like the Gibraltar said.
Very nice.
Keep that custom going.
Good for you. Okay. So you'll see machlokas there on one line. How you read it, depending on our Gemara. Okay, back to our Gemara.
Stay up all night.
Tana, we have a very, very important braisa here. Before we go to that braisa, who remembers? Who's Rav Anon, who we quoted? Two lines before the lines got wide. He said, I heard it straight from Shmuel. He explained it to me. Who is Rav Anon? Rav Anon is the one who compiled the Tana de Bei Elio. Elio would appear to him and teach him one-on-one. He had his own private lesson with Elio Anavi. So he compiled Tana de Bei Elio. Back to our Gemara. Tana, We're on the third wide line. Hamalve et chavero stam. Someone gives his friend a loan, and they don't express how long the loan is for. Eino rashai letoveo pachot melamed yom. He's not allowed to come and ask to collect before 30 days are up. So what we just learned, stam milve shloshim yom. If you have a loan that's said plainly, that's for 30 days. Now, we have to define those words. What does the word milve mean? If I come to you to borrow your pen, so that means I have it for 30 days. So it didn't say stam she'ela shloshim yom, it said stam milve. Milve lohotza'a nitna. Milve is a loan where you're spending that loan. I don't expect you to give me back the same quarter I gave you. I expect you to spend it and give me back a different quarter. Milve I give you so you spend and you give me the equivalent back. Hash'ola she'ela is when you borrow something where I expect you to give it back to me. You ask me, could I borrow your car? I don't mean to give to you for 30 days. You ask me, could you borrow my pen? I don't mean to give to you for 30 days. It's a stam milve shloshim yom. A loan, that's a milve, where it's understood you're going to spend it and then pay back the equivalent. That's for 30 days.
So something like food, for example? Like if.
That's a good question. It would seem that way, right? Savar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Kamei Derav Lemeimar Ani Milve Li Bemilve Beshtar. So he thought this only means when he actually wrote a document about it. Lo Avad Inish Tetarach Tekatav Shtar Batzem Utlot Nyomin. You wouldn't have bothered to write a legal document if it was for less than 30 days. Aval Milve Al Peh Lo. But what happens if it was a loan that was by heart without writing down a shtar? So then maybe that's okay. That's not understood that it'll be for 30 days. I come by and I say, hey, can I borrow a quarter? I want to get a Coke. So I didn't think it's going to take you 30 days to give me back that quarter. That's what Rabbi Bar Bar Chana thought in the words of Shmuel. Now, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana is Rav's nephew, yes? So, is Rav Chia's nephew, I'm sorry. He is Rav's cousin. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana and Rav are cousins. I'm sorry, you're right. It's not Shmuel. Shmuel isn't in the picture. I'm sorry, you're right. So Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said in front of Rav, who is his cousin, he said to him, they're both nephews of Rav Chia, he said to him, he thought that that's only if there's a shtar. Because you don't bother writing a shtar for less than 30 days. But if you did a loan without any document, so then not. Amale Rav, hachi amar chavivi. He said to him, this is what Chavivi said. Who is Chavivi? So Chavivi is Ach Avi. Chavivi is the translation of Dodi. Dodi is my beloved. Chavivi is my beloved. Ach Av is my beloved. Yeah, Ach Av. And my beloved is my uncle.
Why is your uncle your beloved?
Oh. Think about it. So who's he talking about? Who's his uncle? Who did we say is both Rav and Rabbi Bar Bar Chana's uncle? Rabbi Chia, right? Rabbi Chia.
Why is Chavivi his uncle?
Is it because the uncle doesn't Chavivi punish you?
Is,
what did you say?
Your uncle only comes in and plays with you and does good things for you. He doesn't punish you like your father.
They don't call him Papa Sam. They call him Uncle Sam. There's a reason. Because someone who's all about giving is like an uncle. No, what do your uncles do? They send you birthday gifts and afikomans and play with you, and they're a lot of fun, right?
I had an uncle tie me up to the barbecue.
So I don't know about your uncle, but when you'll be an uncle, so that's what you're going to do. So Chavivi is the translation of Dodi, which is his uncle. So he says to him, this is what our uncle said.
Why is this? He says Chavivi, not Chavivi.
Okay. He says my uncle, which is also his uncle. Say that. Echad amalve bishtar. Ve'echad amalve alpe. Be it if he gives the loan with a document or without a document, you have 30 days. That's a tradition he had from Rabbi Chia. Tanya Namihachi, we have a brisa supporting this. המלווה את חברו סתם אינו רשאי לטובו פחות מלמד יום, אחד המלווה בשטר ואחד המלווה על פה. It doesn't matter if the loan had a document or not, you're not allowed to collect before 30 days. So far so good? Yes? Okay. You will notice that this is quoted throughout the halacha. Let's open up the riff for a second quickly. What does the Rif say? Daf Aleph on the base, right after the Mishnah. Tanya malveh et chavero stam, eno rashai letovo pchot milamed yom. Echad amalveh bishtar, echad amalveh alpeh. So the Rif quotes that. What?
It's the Rif before or after Ran.
The Rif is with the Ran around it.
Ah.
When you see the Ran around it, so you know you're looking at the Rif.
I was going to ask about the last sugya. Rav and Shmuel disagree on the idea
we have to look at why. Because ordinarily in Mamanos, unless you'll say, oh no, is he sure, and it's not Mamanos. I don't know, we have to look. I don't know. The halacha seems to be like Rav, yeah. Okay, now here in the Rosh, he quotes to us that Rabbeinu Tam is Rashi's grandson, Rabbeinu Yaakov, and he used to say that Stam Sheila is for 30 days just like Stam Halva is for 30 days. And the Rosh says that the proof he brings is no proof, and he tries to bring another proof, but okay, so we still have to verify whether Stam Sheila is 30 days or not. Back to our Gemara. So now you know, Sunday and Tuesday, 9 to 10 o'clock. So now you know, pull up a chair.
I have
okay. Amale Shmuel Rav Matna. Shmuel said to Rav Masna, Lo teiti vakarach ademefnarshit laleha shmaita. Don't take a seat till you explain the following quote. Menaha milta damu rabanan. What's the source for this that the rabbis say? Hamalvet chavero stam eno rashai letoveo pachot milamed yom. If someone gives a loan to his friend plainly, he may not demand the loan in less than 30 days. Doesn't matter if there was a document or not, he's limited to 30 days. So he asks him, tell me, what's the source for this? Akarich means don't sit on your feet. Don't take a seat. Karich are your feet. Don't take a seat. Yeah. Your feet, your thighs, yeah. I don't know. It is, you'll see it in other places too. But yeah. If you want, remind me after class, we'll look up the Tosus in Nazir. It explains it. Amale dichtiv, he said to him, okay, I'll tell you where it comes from. The Torah says that a person should not be concerned. When someone comes and asks him for a loan, he should not say, Kareva shenat hasheva shenat hashemita. Oh boy, I don't want to give him a loan. Shemitah is coming. The seventh year is coming. Mimashma shenemar kareva shenat hasheva in here, there she is not hashemita. If the Torah says, you shouldn't say, I'm worried the seventh year is coming, don't I understand that that means you shouldn't say, I'm worried the Shemitah year is coming? Why does the Torah repeat it? Elamata mudlumar shenat hashemita. Why did the Torah stress the Shemitah year? Lo malecha to tell you, yes, there's another Shemitah that's just like this one. זוהר מלווה את חברו סתם שאינו רשאי לתובעו בפחות מלמד יום. If you give a loan plainly, you're not allowed to collect in less than 30 days. דאמר מר, because we have the following quote which you should remember from Rosh Hashanah, 30 יום בשנה חשוב שנה. 30 days out of the year is like the year is past. Just like we say a part of the day is like the day is past, a day in the month is like the month has passed, a month in the year is like the year has passed. Once you've fulfilled a month out of the year, you've already, it's like you've done the year. So just like with regard to Shemitah, we say 30 days into the year is like the year, so 30 days is my unit. So too, when it comes to loans, my base unit is 30 days. You say you're giving a loan, you give a loan, and you don't say for how long, we go to the base unit of 30 days.
So, to what point does that extend to? When you say, like, you said the month goes, like, 1 month is like the year, 1 day is like the month, and then, or you said an hour is like the day or something? How far does that
go? A minute into the day is like the day, yeah. Once you start the day, it's like the day.
Okay, so you have these people that hold 6 hours, and,
You don't I'm say like, with regard to every halacha. Like, you don't say miktas ayom kekulo.
But I'm saying, like, I've heard that this, for example, like this, some people that hold like into the 6 hours sort of thing. I heard someone say that there's no real source for that. But
there is.
Yeah, really. It's Rabbi Neir that I heard say that. You know, one of these things that he had printed out.
I think it's a prima gada.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so I was wondering, like, that's based off the same concept, though. That, like,
no.
Is something. Okay.
I'm not quite sure what's going on here. He's telling them that there's a ribui here in the pasuk, and since we have a learning that a year could also be 30 days, so that means that 30 days for a loan is the minimum. How did we get from Shemitah to loan?
What is Shemitah? Shemitah is Shamot. Let go, don't bother him. What did we just say? Let go, don't bother him for 30 days. Right, that's what we're saying. Eino rashai letovo, which is an interesting point. It should have bothered you. It doesn't say stam milve lamed yom. The Gemara didn't say if you gave a loan without specifying a time, then that loan is for only 30 days. It didn't say that. It said if you gave a loan without specifying a time, you may not come to collect for 30 days. How long was the loan for? The Gemara didn't say. The Gemara said you may not collect before 30 days. So the Gemara is now telling us the angle of understanding is I derive it from Shemitah. The Torah came and told me there's another type of thing where I say don't bug him, just like Shemitah, let go of him. In the Sukkim of Shemitah, it indicated there's another concept of Shamot, let go. And that is, you gave a loan, you didn't specify a time, let the guy go for 30 days. You're asking, is it a limud or an asmachta?
Right.
So the lashon is minaha milsa de amur rabbanon. It seems to be an asmachta, but I don't know. Don't know.
I'm assuming the inyan of collecting is actually the pestering part, right? Like if the guy comes and pays on his own free will,
if he volunteers, it's fine.
Okay.
The question is, are you allowed to ask for it?
Okay.
Now we have a quote from Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav. Hapoteach bet atzavar b'shabbat. If someone has a brand new shirt, and in those days when you had a brand new shirt, so then the collar came closed. They'd seam up the collar, and you had to cut open the collar, and then you could put on the shirt. So if comes Shabbos, your wife says, I got your brand new shirt, Amichai. And you come Shabbos morning to put on the shirt and, hey, wait a second. Can't, doesn't get up. Okay, no problem. You grab the scissors to cut it open. Says our Gemara, Hapotech Beit HaTzavar B'Shabbat, if someone cuts open the collar on Shabbos, Chayav Chatat. That's called mitakein mana. That's called he fixed. He gave the final shot to fixing up, making this into a usable vessel. So we began with all kinds of quotes from Rav Yehuda that Rav Kahana asked about. So here too, we're going to bring a final quote from Rav Yehuda that Rav Kahana asked about. So Rav Yehuda said, if you slit open the collar on Shabbos, he's chayiv chatos. That's called the malacha on Shabbos because you finished off the garment. Matkiv l'Rav Kahana v'chima ben ze l'mgufat chavit. What's the difference between this and the idea that if on Shabbos you want to use a barrel, you could slice off the top of the barrel in order to access the wine? How come that's permissible? You're not saying that by slicing off the top of the barrel, you're perfecting the barrel so you could have access to the wine. Okay. Amar le ze chibur, ve ze no chibur. He said to him, by the collar, it's all sewn shut. So when you slice it open, you're doing something new here. Just like a Coke bottle that's sealed shut, you have to break it open. It's really, you're forming a new vessel. You didn't have access to that bottle before you broke open the cap, and now you have access to the bottle. But by the barrel, what's happening here? The barrel is like a hummus, like a pack of cottage cheese. You glued the lid to the top. It's not really attached. So you're separating something that was a separate entity to begin with. What'd you do? You put some glue, you put some tar there to connect the lid. But the lid never really connected with the barrel. It's two separate things. You have a lid, you have a barrel, you have tar that's holding it together. So you could take your sword and slice it open. Okay, that's fine, because the lid was separate, the barrel was separate, and there was glue in between, there was tar. Like a cottage cheese. Yeah, you have the plastic on top. It's glued on top. But you have a lid, meaning you have two separate things with glue holding them together, but it didn't become one entity. With a Coke bottle or a wine bottle, what you really have is the cap is there sealed on, and you have to break the cap in order to have a functioning bottle. It's not like the barrel.
Sorry, you now let's open the Coke bottle.
Ask your local Orthodox rabbi.
Why isn't it like this?
Because by the barrel, you don't have to break the vessel to access it. What you're doing is removing the glue between two entities. You have a lid, you have a barrel, and you have tar in between. So you're slicing open the tar, you still have a lid, and have a barrel. By a Coke bottle, you're breaking a cap in order to have a bottle.
It's not a second material that's sticking together. It's one piece.
Okay.
Material.
Fine.
And the strings that tie the shirt is not considered a foreign entity?
No, because it becomes a part of the shirt.
Why?
Because you had an open shirt, you sewed it up, and then you sewed it closed for whatever reason, however they did it. So now it's one closed shirt. It's attached. It's not attached to different things. It's a shirt that's closed.
I mean,
so because it's one thing, it changes the
glue and
if you would glue the top of the shirts closed, that might be different. If you would use tar or a different element. But if you're continuing to use the strings like you used to sew up the whole shirt, so what are you going to say? What's the difference between cutting here and cutting here? It's all one shirt.
So it's like as if you just cut the sleeves off and turn it into a t-shirt.
Right.
Right.
Solve the problem, Rabbi. What you do is you ask your goyish to try on the shirt and see if he likes it, and he'll put it a cover up before you put it on, and he gives it to you. He gets the benefit from it by turning on your shirt.
Oh, okay, very nice.
But here in Israel, we don't have so many.
Back to our Gemara. Oh, the Omer of Yehuda, Omer Rav. So we're back to, let's see Rashi for a minute. Ze, you see Rashi, ze? Ze, ze de bet ha-tzavar, hayachibur, the collar, that was all attached, closed. Hilkach petach tikun chadashu. That's why when you slice it open, that's considered, you fixed it anew. Aval am gufa, but the lid of the barrel, apal pishi tuchal piachavit betit, even though you smear tar on top of the barrel, and zechibu, you didn't really attach the lid to the barrel, v'havelei kiptuchav omedet. So then I consider it like the lid was open all along. You're just removing the tar that prevented you from taking off the lid. But it's not like you really attached the lid. It's not like it became one. Back to our Gemara. We'll just begin the next sugya with an introduction, because the next sugya will take us really down to the next Mishnah. It's a very important, very interesting sugya, but it requires thought and concentration. So come Sunday, you guys, we got to start on time and we got to be focused. I want to try to finish it in one day, not spend over 2 days, because we have to hold cup, as they say. Our sugya will revolve around a mikveh. Now, once a mikveh has the minimum amount of 40 se'ah of water that was rainwater, water that did not come into a vessel, so then even if you pour in cups of water, they're batel, they're nullified. But what happens if you have a mikveh that's not yet complete? The mikveh does not yet have 40 se'ah of rainwater. So then, if you have 3 lug of mayim she'uvin, of water that was drawn by a vessel, that falls into that mikveh, then those waters will disqualify the mikveh. 3 lug. Now, what happens if wine falls in? Well, wine isn't water. Wine isn't mayim she'uvin. And what happens if you have a mixture of wine and water, or milk and water that fall in? So that's what we will focus on, Be'ezrat Hashem, next time. The base halacha that we need to know is that 3 lug of mayim she'uvin pasul a mikvah that does not yet have 40 se'ah. And everything else we will explore, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week. Good question. I don't remember, but it's a Mishnah in the beginning of Eiduyos. I don't remember how we got that number. I think it's Alach and Moshe Messina. Pretty sure it's Alach and Moshe Messina.
Even if it's 39, the mikvah, still
yeah. I didn't say that.
What if that has exactly
50? Yeah? Just 1 second. To be continued, I want to take the last minute just to review what we saw today. All our sugiyot revolved around Rav Yehuda quoting something and then being questioned by Rav Kahana. The first sugiya was what we saw previously. If you took a loan for 10 years, the Shemitah, according to one quote, does nullify the loan. According to the other quote, does not nullify the loan. What we saw today is if you made a condition, Shemitah shouldn't nullify the loan, then Shemitah does. We questioned that and we said it depends on how you worded it. Then we had a quote, if a person gave a loan without specifying a time, Stam Milveh, for 30 days, doesn't matter with a shtar or without a shtar. And we quoted that from the Pasuk, Shnata Sheva, Shnata Shemitah. And we ended up with the quote that if you open up a collar on Shabbos, you're chayav chatos, and it's not like a barrel. That was the third quote of Rav Yehuda.